And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, the last week, I think, must have been Trump's worst week since he took office. The Republicans, led by him, lost everywhere. He and his administration lost in the courts. So between the voters that repudiated him and the courts that tried to put a stop to him, it looks like his only recourse at this point is John Roberts, Sam Alito, and Clarence Thomas, and whoever they can get to go with them in the Supreme Court. What do you make of these elections?
Well, this was the definition of a wave election, but it was kind of a different wave. It wasn't that people were voting pro-Democrat. They were really expressing their dissatisfaction with what's happening throughout the country. And their way of doing it was they went in, and wherever they saw the letter D or the word Democrat, they just clicked the levers for them, or filled in the circle in the ballot.
Well, how about here in Northeast Pennsylvania, which is one of the deep red areas, especially Luzerne County, its government was 10-1 Republican in the elected officials in the county council just a couple of years ago.
Two cycles ago, out of the 11 county commissioners. By the way, the people rejected changing that government or going from 11 to 9 county commissioners. But it was 10-1 Republican. That last cycle, the Democrats picked up a couple of seats, two or three. This cycle, they won the majority. They won 4 out of 5 seats that were up. And, I don't think it was anything special about the Democrats. It's just that people were sick of the dysfunction in Luzerne County as well under the Republican rule.
But the Democratic committee in Luzerne County hasn't improved any, right?
You don't hear them really being effective in any way, shape,
or form. This wasn't a party victory. This was a rebellion by the voter.
Yes. And let's start with the top of the state ticket, which was the judicial retention.
Right.
Which makes a big difference. And there were 3 Supreme Court justices who were elected 10 years ago when the Republicans fell asleep. And it changed the whole majority of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court and ushered in a lot of changes in the state. The gerrymandered congressional districts are no longer gerrymandered. The 2020 election, the Trump arguments in court that the election was fraudulent in Pennsylvania went nowhere. In terms of people's rights versus corporations and things like that, or insurance industry, these were people's judges, so to speak. And everybody thought that it was going to be like Wisconsin, where the Republicans were going to put billions, millions and millions of dollars in. And indeed, Jeffrey Yaz, the richest man in Pennsylvania, did. Elon Musk, though, was nowhere to be seen after he lost in Wisconsin. And the Democrats essentially outspent and outstrategized the Republicans, and they won by 62%. They retained the judges. Not only did they retain these judges, they retained two other judges on the ballot in 2 of the intermediate appellate courts, and they elected 2 judges, one each to the Superior and to the Commonwealth Court. And the margins were not close. They were, for the retention, it was like 62-38% percent. And for the electing judges, it was like 57%. Those were 12 or 14 point wins. And up and down the ballot in Pennsylvania, Clearfield County elected a Democratic judge. In either Washington or Westmoreland County, which had been trending heavily Republican, Democrats won in lower elections. Erie reversed the trend that had been going Republican. There was a Democratic DA elected in Bucks County for the first time since probably the Civil War era. There were two Democratic judges elected in Monroe County, which a lot of New Yorkers live in, you know, or at least part of the year they live there. And up and down. And then here in Lackawanna County, we had the entrenched Democratic machine was being challenged by two longtime Democrats who had to run as independents. And the machine won quite easily. And a lot of, I think what it was is that people just went in and where they saw the Democratic label, they just took that. That was the top of the ballot, and they just grabbed it. And but it was a Democratic victory. So all over the place. When you go around the country, Georgia.
How about the turnout?
The turnout was up around 40%. A lot of times municipal election turnouts are around 30. So the turnout was somewhat greater. Although among the MAGA people, it wasn't. The Trump had managed to bring out either only occasional or almost never voters. Those people stayed home. Those people stayed home, and the Democrats were energized, and they came out. Although there are some signs there that I saw at Scranton High School, where there's four election districts, the Turning Point USA had a booth set up, a tent outside the school. They didn't get any real votes, but they were out there showing that they are organized. Mm-hmm. They told me that they're going to be concentrating at local colleges. College Misericordia in Luzerne County, Penn State in Scranton, all of those places. So the Democrats need to wake up. This was not because the Democrats were so well organized and had so much to offer. They just happened to be the beneficiaries of things.
And how did Paige Cognetti do, the mayor of Scranton, who was also talking about running, not talking, she is also running for Congress. Yeah.
She it was more or less an invisible campaign until the last couple of weeks. She didn't have much, didn't do much on television. She did go out, knocking on doors, but she had two opponents, the Republican and one of the good old boy Democrats, who decided to forego the primary and would run as an independent in the general. And she got 57% of the vote.
57% of the vote. Wow.
Against two, the other two opponents got about 22% apiece,
Mm-hmm.
So now she's set up to run for Congress, and we'll see what happens. Although she's going to have a problem with city council. The Democrats swept the city council race. Mm-hmm. But there was one Democrat who had screwed up his nominating petitions in the primary and had to withdraw. And he decided to run as an independent. And he came in fourth for the three races. He was an ally of mm-hmm. the mayor. And that means that those who are not allies of the mayor have a majority now in council of 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw one of her allies, Jessica Rothschild, yesterday, and she said, "We'll see what happens." That was her response to me. So
that doesn't indicate a big plan.
No. And I don't know how much attention the mayor is going to, be paying, but people are pretty happy at Scranton. There's a lot of work going on in Scranton. A lot of new businesses and restaurants opening and apartments being built.
Where are the jobs coming from?
Well, that's a question.
Okay.
That's a question, but certainly in construction, the jobs are there.
Yeah, but after they get built, then what?
Yeah, well, what's happened is the developers, they build one and then they go on and they buy another building and revamp that. There's a whole host of buildings. They'll run out at some point, but we'll have to see. It's just that the doom and gloom of you know, old Scranton seems to have been lifted, at least, you know, for the moment, by Paige Cognetti. It's the sun is shining. I do want to mention, though, that Scranton did lose one of its former mayors this week, Dave Wenzel, who was a big promoter of the city. He was a, as a young man, he went to Vietnam and had the misfortune of stepping on a landmine, lost both of his legs above the knee and one of his hands. So he was a triple amputee. He came back and he actually made a life for himself, was elected city treasurer and then mayor. Unfortunately, his disabilities caught up to him. He chose not to run for re-election, but he continued to work for the betterment of the city. He was a really good guy, and you know, I have to give a lot of compliments to his wife as well, who helped him along for the last 50 years since his injuries. And he's no longer with us, and he deserves to be mentioned. He deserves to be mentioned.
Yeah, he was a Republican.
He was a Republican, but he wasn't a MAGA guy. People, you know, from both sides liked him. He brought people together. He didn't drive them apart.
Not surprisingly, his great passion was veterans' rights.
Correct.
He was very active in making sure veterans got the benefits that they deserved and needed.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Donald Trump is just the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
Trump's service was different. He had different problems with his feet.
Yeah. Bone spurs, as opposed to a guy who was a triple amputee.
Right. Exactly. Right.
But they honored Matt Cartwright this week, Lackawanna Pro Bono, and it was the biggest fundraiser they ever had. He was one of three that they honored. The president of Johnson School was another one. Mm-hmm. And one of Matt's big achievements was the Camp Lejeune bill that he got helped get passed to compensate the soldiers and the families who were exposed for years to contaminated waters and things like that, even though the government knew about it and let them, you know, suffer the consequences of that. And Matt was one of the promoters of that bill. You know, so that was another thing, you know, that you don't see coming out of Bresnahan. So he's got to be, Rob Bresnahan's got to be really worried about this election as well. But every election is different. You know, the way things change from 2024 to 2025 can flip back. We should mention some other places. Down in Virginia, where my cousin's wife is a member of the House of Delegates, they went from like a one vote margin, the Democrats, to at least a dozen. They ousted Republicans who had never, you know, in areas that had never voted Democratic before.
I think every single county in Virginia went Democratic in this election.
Well, it trended more towards the Democrats. After the last election, everything trended red. This one trended blue. Georgia, I mentioned, there were counties that Trump carried in all three of his elections by ever-increasing margins. You know, he won by 4, he won by 12, he won by 15, and a Democrat won by 40. For the
by 40?
There were a couple counties like that for the Utility Commission, mm-hmm. which is a statewide vote.
Those were the only statewide votes in Georgia this election.
Yeah, this time. Now, the MAGA voters were really, really upset in Kentucky when they went to the polls and they found out that there were no statewide elections in Kentucky this year. They were wondering, you know, they had a conspiracy theory going for them until people pointed out, no, not everywhere is voting. Now, Jersey was an important win for the Democrats because Jack Cittarelli was running for the third time. They thought that they had a shot. The Republicans.
Well, the polls showed that Cittarelli, at some point, he was in the lead, according to the polls.
Yeah. And they said Mikey Sherrill had not run a good campaign. The Hispanic vote up in where Union and Passaic counties had gone for Trump much more heavily. And election night, lo and behold, it was a wipeout. Jackie Sherrill got, 56-57% of the vote.
Yeah.
And
he won by 13 points.
Yeah. The Hispanics, all left the Republicans. And you know why? I mean, you could see that because of the fact that they don't like the way Trump is, and his thugs are treating ordinary people.
You think it's possible that some people react when pogroms are organized against them by not agreeing to vote for the people who are organizing the pogroms?
Yeah, you think that would be the thing? And I know here in Lackawanna County there was an incident the last couple weeks where a Honduran who was not in the country legally had been working as a dishwasher at one of the, I didn't even know this, but we go to that restaurant in Dunmore, and he was riding to work on his bicycle. Can't even afford a car. And somebody tipped ICE off, and they grabbed him. They snatched him off the street. They had to run him down, and they took him. And then they went, and he had a daughter in middle school, I think a sixth grader, and they went to the school and pulled her right out of the classroom. And people, were really, really appalled by that. You heard people talking about it. Nobody really liked that. And this is what's happening across the country.
By the way, I'm not sure he wasn't in the country legally. It is legal to apply for asylum. That's the law. He had applied for asylum. He was in the process of having it adjudicated. He was here legally. It wasn't decided.
He was waiting. But he missed his hearing in 2023.
He missed the hearing, but that doesn't mean he was here illegally. No.
But he didn't have the protection of having been adjudicated.
And, that's right.
And that was the thing. So we had that.
I'm just trying to make the point. The right wing makes the point that applying for asylum somehow doesn't matter, doesn't count.
Right.
It's not a legal process, but it is a legal process. It's the law. And not only that, it's an international treaty. And not only that, it's part of human rights law. Human beings have the right to asylum. So various countries have ways of implementing that right. We have that implementation. You apply, you don't have to apply in a designated office. If you step foot in the United States and you say, I'm applying for asylum, you've complied with the law. You're here legally. Now there has to be a hearing to decide whether your asylum will be granted. But that doesn't make you illegal while that process is going on. But the right wing says it does. It's a lie.
So what else? I think what's happening, years ago, when I was out in California, the Republicans brought back Pete Wilson from the U.S. Senate. Pete Wilson had been the fairly moderate Republican mayor of San Diego, and he got elected to the Senate, and they needed a candidate for governor, and they brought him back for governor. And then they tried to pass a couple of propositions that were anti-immigrant and some people would label as racist. And the whole state flipped Democratic from a state that could go either way to one that the Republican Party has basically been relegated to the back benches in. And I think that that's what you've seen in certain places here in the United States, the rest of the country, where the ham-handedness of the Republican Party has caught up to them and has turned people off. And whether or not that's going to be as permanent as it's been in California, we'll have to see. Texas is a place where it might take hold. The redrawing of maps, the gerrymander, all of a sudden it's supposed to bring 5 seats to the Republicans, doesn't look as solid anymore. If those Hispanics that voted for Trump abandoned them. So, I mean, we'll just have to see. We saw what happened in California again, where Gavin Newsom passed a resolution. They had a reform of an anti-gerrymandering commission to set up congressional districts. And the people of California, by what, 2-1, almost 2-1, said, we're going to forget about that, at least for 2026 and 2028. The Republicans are playing dirty in Texas. We're going to offset them in California. So we'll have to see about that.
Your comment forces us to consider Dick Cheney's death.
Yes.
Dick Cheney did die this week.
Yeah. How many heart transplants did he have? Did he have one or two?
He was heartless.
Well, it wasn't his heart that went into him. But you know, he was the prototypical Republican. He was Gerry Ford's chief of staff, whatever. And by 2024, he was telling people to vote for Harris. He put his patriotism above his party, which seems to be an idea whose time has passed among the Republicans, that they kind of buried that with John McCain, so to speak, and now with Dick Cheney. But we, you know, and some of that, I think, has to do with his daughter, who sacrificed her political career for the same principles. And but he's no longer with us. I mean, he caused great, terrible problems with the Iraq War.
It's a good thing that he did what he did at the end of his life, but it doesn't absolve him for the fact that what he did throughout the rest of his life, most of his life, laid the basis for Trump.
And then we learned this week.
What he didn't like about Trump, I think, was that he thought Trump was incompetent to carry out the mission. And that's what he really opposed. He was against Trump's failure to follow process. I don't think he opposed what Trump wanted to achieve.
Process is important.
Is important. That's right.
You go to law school.
He did oppose Trump, so that's important.
Yeah. At the end, on the 1-year anniversary of January 6th, only two Republicans went to the floor of the U.S. House. One was Liz Cheney, and the other one was her father, Dick, who has privileges. Once you're a congressman, you have privilege to go back and enter the floor. So he made a statement that way. I did want to comment that Nancy Pelosi finally threw in the towel. Mm-hmm. And said that she's not going to run again. It'll be interesting to see who winds up replacing her in Congress, but you won't see, the likes of her as a leader again for a long time. Probably the most effective Speaker of the House since Sam Rayburn.
Mm-hmm.
But
Sam Rayburn had a different situation. He had the ability to bribe people. She didn't.
Yes. But I think the other thing that we need to talk about is the split screens that we've mm-hmm. seen this week. Mm-hmm. And the tone deafness of the Republican Party to this. Mm-hmm. They've become intoxicated with their success and oblivious. They're supposed to be the party of the common man, which they never were. And it's showing. You had the Mar-a-Lago Great Gatsby party with the woman in the martini glass, scantily clad, and mm-hmm. and all these billionaires, dressed up and dining on, on all these fancy foods. And then you had the food lines stretching for miles all over the country. Particularly, you saw it in L.A. And this is the United States of America, and people see this and say, "What the hell is going on?" And it's being exacerbated by government shutdown, where people aren't working. The other thing that they're seeing now is all the restrictions on travel. They can't get out of airports because the air traffic controllers aren't reporting for work, because they're not getting paid. And the Republicans are holding out, don't want to pay them, just typical of Trump, saying,
did you see that the construction company that did the demolition of the East Wing is suing Trump because he hadn't paid them?
Yeah, I saw that. He collected, what, $250 million?
Yeah.
And this is how he operated in New York City. I was just going to say that, when are they going to learn? Get your money up front.
Right.
get your money up front when you deal with Trump. So we had, all of these things kind of happening. And then you had the Elon Musk getting approval to have a $1 trillion payday if he meets certain metrics for his company.
Thank God the working class is finally a victory. Finally a worker is going to get paid what he's worth.
Yeah. Now, it's not that he hasn't increased value of things, but this is the concentration of wealth. You are taking money that from thousands and thousands of people who are shareholders who have invested in this company, and you're paying one person $1 trillion of this should he make the metrics. But
this looks impossible to make because, among other things, it requires the sale of a certain number of electric cars, and his man, Trump, makes it impossible to buy an electric car in America.
Well, he has time to do it. But remember, he just got a big payday. Was it $100 million or something? Because they thought there were going to be impossible metrics to make. And he moved the company's address from Delaware, where the judge had said, no, you're not going to get this money, to Texas, where they're more, do I use the word liberal as far as corporate paydays are concerned?
Beholden to the corporate office holder.
Yeah, that kind of thing. But again, this is the wealth gap that has emerged in this company that is destabilizing the political process. I quoted many times Justice Brandeis, who said, either you can have a democracy or you can have wealth concentrated in the hands of a few, but you can't have both. And then there was that article this week in the Washington Post about J.D. Vance's backers
who agree with Brandeis.
Who agree with Brandeis, and they say, we'll take the wealth. The democracy. Exactly. Peter Thiel says he doesn't. But there was this other fellow who said that people should be ruled by the aristocracy. Right. Not the demos, not the democracy. And people don't really like that. They got up off the floor and voted, at least the Democrats did. But make no mistake about it, come 2020, every election year is different. Come 2026, the Republicans are going to look and see what kind of way they can change their messaging. They're not going to change their policies. They've told us that for years. They only double and triple down on their policies. But they're going to try to make it more palatable. They're going to try to make it, reorganize to defeat Democrats. But now a lot of places are in play that weren't in play before.
But your general summary of these elections is that the Democrats won in spite of themselves. The people rebelled.
Yes.
And voted Democratic without necessarily knowing much about the Democrats. Not everywhere, but in some places.
Yeah, and without the Democrats being organized to do this.
Yeah. All right, let's see what happens next week.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
And happy Veterans Day to all.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.